Louis B. Smead said, "To forgive is to set a prisoner free and discover that the prisoner was you." Welcome to the Soul Podcast. I'm Stacy Wheeler. Today I'm going to talk about the power of forgiveness and why forgiving is sometimes difficult. Did you know the idea of forgiveness, the power of forgiveness, goes back further than the written word? The earliest philosophers and mystics talked about it. The idea appears in the oldest religious texts, including words spoken by Siddhartha Gautama, the Buddha. The Buddha said, "Holding on to anger is like grasping a hot coal with the intent of throwing it at someone else. You are the one who gets burned." And the Bible mentions forgiveness at least 127 times. So it's clear that people have always done others wrong, and those who've been hurt have had to figure out how to navigate the pain of it. And it seems forgiveness is the universal antidote. Forgiveness is an important skill to learn if we want to be happy. Around 125 years ago, Mark Twain said, "Anger is an acid that can do more harm to the vessel in which it is stored than to anything onto which it's poured." Sounds a little bit like the Buddha quote, doesn't it? About the hot coal? That's because there's a truth to it. And truths always come back around. Holding anger, like acid in a vessel, does not give us relief. We may wait for the other person to either own their crime or for an opportunity to somehow get them back for what they did. But all that time, we're stuck in a pattern of pain. We clutch the coal of hurt in our hand. And in doing this, we're not pushing the pain away. We're holding it closer. The person who hurt you is not hurt by this. They don't even know that you're walking around with a hot coal in your grasp. But you're extending the pain process by not releasing it. Whether you know it or not, you're making a choice. Holding pain is a choice. Yeah, I get that it's an easy thing to say. Letting go is not so easy to do, unless you've learned how. Have you learned how? Even if you don't think you can forgive the person who wronged you, keep listening. I've been there, and I'm going to show you a way to start releasing the coal you're clutching. We've all been hurt. But how do you forgive someone who hurt you? When we've been hurt, our sense of fairness tells us that the person who hurt us should pay for what they did, or at the very least apologize for it. And we have a sense that if they do, we'll feel better. But is that true? Will we? Will an apology or retribution erase what's happened? When we experience something bad, do we ever really leave it behind completely? Does it stop being part of our life experience because they apologize? One reason it's hard to forgive is that when we've been hurt or wronged, we make a caricature in our mind of the person who did it to us. This is reflexive. We don't even have to try to do it. We begin to see them only as the thing they did, not as a person. We define them by the thing they did. We label them. We see them as a jerk or an asshole or a monster. In our minds, their good human traits are stripped away and they become a one-dimensional character to us. We may even start to hate them. And we grasp that anger and hate. We hold it like a hot coal. And we feel justified to hold that hate for them. After what they did to us, we feel justified. Our hate may have been triggered by their actions, but our hate isn't about them. Consider this. When you say, "I love you," to another, you're telling them about you, not about them. You're telling them your deep feelings. "I love you." When you say, "I hate you," it's the same. Hate is an emotion we project on another, and hate is a choice. It's a choice that grows from anger. I hate you. It's a choice. And anger, there's a reason we go to anger. It's a self-protective response to pain. When we've been hurt, we experience emotions that make us feel weak. Think of a time you felt betrayed or were lied to or abused in some way. Do you remember how you felt in that moment? The emotion we ultimately feel might be anger, but the first emotion we feel in these moments is from a sense of powerlessness. When we've been taken advantage of or abused, it makes us feel weak. This powerless feeling may only last for a brief moment for some of us before we shift to anger. But when we relive that moment in our mind, we will again recall that sense of powerlessness, of feeling weak. In that moment, where we know we've been wronged, we shift the emotion that makes us feel weak to the one that makes us feel stronger. We choose anger. You see, anger is a strong emotion. Anger gives us a sense of power. When we choose anger, we reject the weakness we feel in that moment and choose an emotion that's comforting to us. Anger lets us feel like less of a victim to the event that hurt us. Anger helps us stabilize and take our power back. For that reason, anger is a helpful tool. It allows us to get out of the weakness rut. But anger can be a trap we can get caught in if we don't understand it's supposed to be a layover, not a destination. And the reason we get trapped there is because we sense once our anger or hate is gone, we'll be forced to deal with the pain that created it. You must release the hate and anger to get to the good stuff. You must release it to move past the hurt. And one way to do that is to forgive the person. If you can forgive the person, you can move forward. Some people are quite good at this. But like most skills, we get better at forgiveness through practice. But of course, many of us find it's hard to forgive. So we get stuck. Sometimes it's hard to forgive because of the event itself. You might think to yourself, how can I forgive someone who did that? Sometimes it's hard to forgive because the person hasn't shown remorse or tried to make it right in some way. So you might think to yourself, how can I forgive someone who hasn't even apologized? So we get stuck with the anger because our thinking is all wrong. It can be easy to forgive when you know how. Learning how begins when you understand that you're the one holding the hot coal, and holding it does nothing to the person who hurt you. And most importantly, you must understand this one thing. Forgiveness is not for the person who hurt you. Forgiveness is for you. Let me admit something. Forgiveness used to be a very difficult word for me, for the two reasons I mentioned. But I also knew I didn't want to carry around a hot coal, the hot coal of anger the rest of my life. How can I forgive if they haven't asked me to forgive? Why should I forgive someone who did something mean? It's the word forgive. It's where it rests in my mind. That's what I struggled with, the meaning of that word. It's like me giving a gift to somebody who did something bad. So I had to get over that. You see, I knew I didn't want to carry around the hot coal of anger for the rest of my life. I didn't want to feel like a victim of things that happened. So I knew I had to learn how to forgive. And I did. And it was powerful. So if you find it hard to forgive because you trip over the word the way I did, I'm going to offer you a tool which I use to practice learning to forgive. And that tool is empathy. With empathy, you learn to see the person who hurt you in a different way, a way that makes them less one-dimensional. You allow yourself to see their damage and their pain. Yeah, I know they're damaged. Only damaged people hurt other people and then do nothing to make it right. But their damage should not keep you from releasing the hot coal of anger. So, we learn to look at them with empathy. Now, first of all, I must say empathy doesn't mean you understand someone's experience because you haven't experienced what they've experienced. It doesn't mean you can relate to it. You can never know what someone's been through any more than they can relate to what you've been through. Their life has been different from yours. But you probably know enough about them to understand they're a damaged person. You might even know some of the reasons why they're damaged. Now, to be clear, what their life experience has been does not justify the way they treated you. It also doesn't mean you need to ever trust them again. We only look at their life experience with empathy to start to see them as more than one-dimensional. We're breaking them out of the trap that we created in our mind for them, that one-dimensional trap where they're not a person, but a caricature of the thing they did. Now remember, we don't do this for them, we do this for us. Here's how to put empathy in motion with a three-step process. First, recognize the challenges they face or are facing, if you can. When I was 12, there was a kid in my school named Danny. He was mean. He'd do things like throw a basketball at your face for fun. Nobody liked him. In eighth grade, he cracked one of my teeth with a basketball. He had an angry streak. Teachers weren't even safe from his abuse. He was suspended many times. Later that year, when his parents divorced, he and his father moved away. never saw him again. Years later, I got to know a guy who had been his stepbrother. I asked him about Danny. He acknowledged that Danny was a mean kid, and he told me how Danny's dad had been an abusive guy. It had been 5 years since I'd seen Danny, but suddenly, I felt empathy for him. He was a mean kid, and being mean isn't okay. But at least now I had some context for why he had so much anger. Second step, look inward and connect to the emotion the empathy provokes. Okay, backing up here. Again, recognize the challenge they faced or are facing if you can. See, I recognize Danny's thing, right? Second, look inward and connect with the emotion that empathy provokes in you. When I heard how Danny had been treated by his father, it affected me. I connected with the emotion it evoked. I was thankful that I didn't have an abusive home and that I never had to wonder if I was loved the way Danny did. Look inward and connect to that emotion. See, you're making them no longer one-dimensional. Number three, here we go. Again, backing up. Number one, recognize the challenges they've faced or are facing if you can. Number two, look inward and connect to the emotion the empathy provoked in you. And third, transfer that emotion into action. When I understood why Danny had been a bully and allowed myself to connect with the emotions I felt about his situation, I was able to see him more completely. He stopped being a one-dimensional jerk. I was able to feel empathy for him. I didn't have to forgive him. I didn't need to think it was okay for him to hurt me. I didn't have to want to be his friend. But understanding how he had become a bully allowed me to see him differently and let go of my anger towards him. Empathy helped me arrive at forgiveness. I let it go. I put him in a different box, and I dropped the hot coal of anger. Empathy leads to forgiveness, and if it doesn't, it will still help you let go of anger and hate. It will help you drop the coal. And like most things, active practice will help you improve. When you learn how to apply empathy, you'll become better at applying it in every new situation that happens. I want to acknowledge here that there are much more traumatic things you might be dealing with than a school bully. This was an easy example that I thought wouldn't be too triggering. Those situations that you're dealing with may be much more charged, but this tool works for all situations. Number one, recognize. Number two, look inward. And number three, transfer that emotion to action inside of yourself. When you forgive, you can start healing. Again, we forgive for us, not for them. And one final thought about the process of suffering and forgiving. Khalil Gibran wrote, "Out of suffering have emerged the strongest souls, the most massive characters are seared with scars." You get many benefits from moving past anger and hate. You get to release the hot coal and be happier. But you also strengthen your soul when you learn empathy and forgiveness. Anger and hate make us weak. Being able to release the pain makes us feel strong. Being able to forgive makes us strong. Learning to release pain is like a magic trick. Become a magician. Be a wizard. Drop your hot coals. And eventually, you'll stop picking them up at all. Lewis B. Smeeds has written several good books on healing and forgiveness. They come from a Christian perspective, in case that's not for you. But I recommend his books very much. I'll share links for two I recommend the most in the show notes. These are affiliate links. If you buy the book, use the link. Your cost will be the same, but a portion of your purchase will go to support the Soul Podcast. Who can you grant forgiveness to today? Do you have someone in mind? Do it. Do it for you. Thank you for listening to the Soul Podcast. If you enjoyed what you heard, learned something new, or were just entertained, please tell your friends about the show and hit that follow button. This is the best way for other people to find the show. Check the show notes for links to supporting information as well as any books or other reading material related to this episode. I love making the Soul Podcast.
My goal is to bring you more shows each season. If the show has spoken to you and you feel called to, please join our list of producers. You can become a producer for as little as $3 a month. And each of you helps me get one step closer to making the Soul Podcast my full-time job. You can find a producer link in the show notes.